Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I was an hour late, and this is Unfeatured Articles. Hello and welcome. It's Unfeatured Articles once more. We've got myself, James Keogh. We've got my friend, Curtis Lang.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you, mate?
Yeah, bloody good.
Yes. And who else have we got? It's none other than... Well, it's Zane C. Weber.
It's Zane C. Weber.
Oh, here he is.
The Righteous Podcast Father
has joined us. He's come down from his...
It's been a while since I've been called the Righteous Podcast Father.
Indeed.
I'm bringing it back.
Alex has been off his game. He's not called you that on our show for a while, but we're bringing it back. We're bringing
have to replace my business cards.
Yes. Yeah. We're back in the studio.
We still don't have Hannah.
We still don't have Hannah. She's off. She's gallivanting. But we do have articles from Wikipedia, ones that are, some might say, unfeatured.
I mean, you're saying that.
I would.
Every week you say that.
Every week we say they're unfeatured.
I do my best.
Sometimes. Who knows?
I do my best to make it a thing.
Yeah. One of our articles might have been featured once or twice. Who knows? We don't know how the featured section of Wikipedia works. Maybe. Yeah.
Who knows?
We don't check that every day.
Yeah.
Buy our merch. Well, let's just dive right into it. I will forego the trip to the orphanage this week because we've got to do it quickie. I'm sorry. On a deadline.
Man's got things to do. He's got people to be. But he's here.
I'm here. I was an hour late. It's all right, man.
But he's here.
You had car troubles.
Yeah, I had car troubles.
How's your car?
Look.
Troubled.
It's troubled. It's Owen Wilson.
It's upset. Owen.
He's depressed.
Wow. My wheel. It's fucked. Wow.
That'd be a real annoying car.
It would.
Wow.
Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson car. It's like Knight Rider, but yeah. It's Owen Wilson and it sucks. Can I start us off with my article?
I insist.
All right. This one you might have heard of.
Uh-huh.
It's Silly String. Everybody.
Okay, so when you said that some of these articles have been featured.
I can say with 99% sureness that the featured articles section of Wikipedia has never featured Silly String.
I'm going to make that claim. Zero research. I'm making the blanket assumption.
I would assume,
Big calls from Keogh.
Would you say, I don't know. Anyway, the reason I bring up Silly String, which is, of course, it's a toy of flexible, sometimes brightly colored plastic string propelled as a stream of liquid from an aerosol can. We all know this. The reason I bring it up is the history section of Silly String is
bananas.
Wild. It's a bit bananas. Here's how it happened. You ever wondered how Silly String happened? Here's how it happened.
Is it a failed weapons test?
Close.
Ooh.
So the invention of this original Silly String was accidental. In 1972, a US patent was issued to Leonard A. Fish, an inventor, and Robert P. Cox, a chemist, for a foamable resinous composition. The partners initially wanted to create a can of aerosol that would be able to spray on a broken or sprained leg or arm and use it as an instant cast. So it was like a medical thing, right?
Okay.
Their invention worked.
Yeah.
But when it came down to packaging the can, the two had to test 500 different types of nozzles. After having gone through at least 30 or 40, Fish came upon one that produced a nice string, which shot about 30 feet across the room. The incident inspired Fish to turn the product into a toy.
30 feet is a lot of feet.
That's like, that's a while. That's like,
they don't make Silly String like that anymore.
No, yeah, they definitely toned it down afterwards.
Yeah. They nerfed it.
They definitely nerfed it. After altering the formula to be less sticky and adding colors, the pair decided to market their product. Because neither of them knew how to sell toys, they made an appointment with Wham-O in California.
Wham-O.
Fish describes how, during that meeting, he sprayed the can all over the person he was meeting with and all over his office, and the person became very upset and asked him to leave the premises.
As you would.
As you would.
I would be angry. He's right.
Here's my invention, and just like I spray a bunch of unknown substance on you. That's probably not going to go well.
Yeah.
However, a day later, Fish received a Western Union telegram asking him to send 24 cans for a market test immediately, signed by the same individual who had kicked him out. He called them back and explained that after he had finished cleaning up his office, the two owners of Whammo had come back to talk to him, and one noticed a piece of string on the lampshade, which he'd forgot to clean up. He explained that while the string, he explained where the string came from, and the owners quickly asked him to send samples over for a market test. 2 weeks later, Whammo signed a contract with Fish & Cox to license the product now known as Silly String. So it's like that bit, you know, in like every biopic,
yeah,
where it's just like,
get out of my
this
office.
This will never fail.
And then nor kids will be banging their heads to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the boss is covered and is like, where did that string come from? We got to get some of that
string.
And so Silly String was born.
Oh, wow.
Silly String was licensed to and produced by Whammo in a range of colors, including blue, red, and green. And then, as you mentioned before, military use. There is an actual military use for Silly String.
I beg your pardon.
So Silly String and similar products have been used by the military to detect tripwires for explosive booby traps. The string is sprayed over the suspected area, and if the string falls to the ground, no tripwires are present, since the string would catch on the tripwires, but it's not heavy enough to activate the explosive.
I see.
So you got a bunch of soldiers just like running around spraying Silly String everywhere.
You really just kind of brushed past the instant cast that you said was successful.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing.
But I've never heard of it.
No, right? They have this instant cast and then instead just put all their money into...
Silly String.
They became successful toy makers. And I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Like, they gave up the medical life. Wouldn't you if you could go into the successful toy business?
I mean, yeah. I'm just waiting for an opportunity to sell out to Hasbro.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Podcasts are going down the drain.
That's right. It's all toys these days.
Wooden toys.
There's nothing but toys. So in December 2006, Tween Brands Inc., a retailer of girls' clothing and accessories in the US, was fined $109,000 by the US Environmental Protection Agency for allegedly distributing canned confetti string damaging to the ozone. The EPA said the product marketed under various names by the retailer damages the stratospheric ozone layer.
Do you think I could sue them for skin cancer?
Probably.
Good.
Yeah, at this point.
Good.
What doesn't cause skin cancer at this point? The production
love.
And use... Love doesn't... Oh, thanks, Ben. I needed that.
And that's been unfeatured after.
Yeah, and it has been banned. Silly String has been banned not only for its, you know... impact on the environment,
it's
apparently.
Atmospheric detriment.
We're killing the ozone with our Silly String.
Fuck.
That's what did it.
Yep.
We flew too close to the sun, literally.
We were great once.
Yeah. And then Silly String came along. The use of aerosol string products has been banned in several places for various reasons, including cleanup and removal costs and fears of potential damage to house or vehicle paint. It has been banned in the city of Ridgewood, New Jersey. Ridgewood, New Jersey. I got it. I landed.
There you go.
That pie coming back up, big dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a number of other places. And also at some public gatherings and events. In 2004, Los Angeles enacted a city ordinance to ban aerosol string in Hollywood on Halloween night.
Fuck.
It's just getting too much.
Yeah.
Too much silly
stuff. I just like to think that this guy's just sitting at home, like ancient, like telling the stories. It's like, we had no idea what we'd done.
The hell we'd wrought.
What had we created? Mine own hubris.
Oh, yeah. And with, just to end on this, so I mentioned the military use. And in 2006, it was being used by the US troops for that purpose. However, because the material was in an aerosol can, it couldn't be shipped privately to Iraq. And it was not provided by official channels. So 80,000 cans of Silly String were unintentionally stockpiled in New Jersey. They just had like probably a warehouse filled to the brim with Silly String.
And that's what we have to blame for the great Silly String incident.
Yeah, that's right. Probably. That's why they banned it in Ridgewood, because of that. Just all over the place. They finally got a place that could ship all that Silly String to Iraq. Luckily for our troops.
Oh, thank goodness.
But unluckily for the environment, I guess.
Yeah.
That is my article, that's Silly String. What
Gorgeous.
Have you got?
Well, I've got the delectable,
ooh,
the delicious,
oh,
recipe that we need to hard dramatic toast sandwich.
Toast sandwich.
So unfeatured is really just kind of falling to the background.
Hey, look, I mean,
I had no idea that people were stupid enough to create a toast sandwich.
Exactly.
Like we've gone too far. At this point,
I feel like my article's gonna be just very tonally different to toasted sandwiches and silly string.
Yeah. Toasted sandwiches and silly string.
Oh, we are children.
We're children.
Let me try and find a less.
No, please.
Bring us down.
That tonal shift.
A toast sandwich is a sandwich made with two thick slices of bread.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And then in the filling,
what is it?
One thin slice of toasted bread, which can be heavily buttered on either side.
So two thick slices of bread.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, a thin slice of bread.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not saying a toasted sandwich.
No, that's what I thought.
Oh, so
this is a toast sandwich.
Okay. All right. I'm interested.
Okay.
I didn't think about that.
So people would be going, he's never heard of a toasted sandwich.
Yeah, I was like, All right, tell me about a toast sandwich.
A toast sandwich. So two thick slices of bread, one thin slice of bread in the center, can be buttered either side.
Okay.
An 1861 recipe says to add salt, pepper, and cumin to the to add flavor.
So we've been doing this for 200 years.
Yeah.
When was the last time that you added cumin to your toast?
Yeah. not a while.
I don't add cumin to a lot of things.
No, I'm not a cumin guy.
I'm a very white man.
I don't like spice.
It's too spicy for me.
Yeah. I can smell the unseasoned cooking from here.
Yeah.
A recipe for toast sandwich is included in the Invalid Cookery section of the 1861 Book of Household Management by Isabella Beaton.
Invalid Cookery.
Who adds, the sandwich
invalid
may be...
Invalid or invalid?
Oh, probably invalid.
Invalid.
Yeah, invalid.
Invalid, okay.
Also invalid. It's just not valid.
This sandwich may be varied by adding a little pulled meat. Well, that's just not a toast sandwich. That's just a meat sandwich.
That's a sandwich.
Of cold meat to the toast. And in any of these forms will be found very tempting to the appetite of the invalid.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're cooking for an invalid.
And
they can't eat anything except bread and butter. So you're making a piece of toast, buttering it on both sides, putting in two pieces of bread and giving that to them. With some salt and pepper and cumin. If you feel appreciate that.
Define invalid for me again.
Someone who is ill.
Yes. Right, so okay.
Can't move.
Okay, gotcha. In November 2011, the toast sandwich was recreated by the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Oh, let's get the chemists on this one.
In a tasting almost 150 years after the release of Beaton's Book of Household Management.
Uh-huh.
The society sought to retrieve the forgotten dish.
Uh-huh.
In
air quotes.
In wake of the Great Recession, after calculating the cost as low as 7.5p per sandwich.
So the Royal Commission of Chemistry or whatever it is just needed to, tell everyone... To eat bread and butter.
Yeah.
If you're poor, just have some bread with butter on it. And if you want to take a few extra steps, use up all these extra hours in the day that you can't work because there's no jobs to toast the bread, put the butter on it, then add some extra bread.
Yeah, and then put some bread on that bread.
They were like, look, capitalism's failed us all.
Yes.
We're all very poor at the moment.
You're poor.
We're pretty fine.
Yeah.
Let's feel a little bit fancy.
Toast sandwich, okay? Now think about this. You get two slices of bread. You put a cooked piece of bread in between.
Ooh, this is...
Where are you getting cumin though?
I don't know. I don't know if they're making cumin. Anyway, after carrying the cost as low as 7.5p per sandwich. So 7.5 pence.
7.5 pence.
7.5 pence.
Hmm. I feel like with inflation that's not as low as five. Like James, this was 7.5 cents. When was this?
James, this is 2011.
Oh.
This is after the 2008, recession.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing it rough,
Eight years ago, Big Dog.
Yeah. Inflation's not gonna do anything about that.
Exactly.
No, fair enough. Okay.
The name of the country's most economic lunch. Offering $200.
Bread and butter.
Yeah. Offering two. No. Bread and butter with more bread.
And bread.
And bread. Offering. You're forgetting the man and bread.
Bread and butter and bread and butter and bread.
Bread. Yeah.
And maybe some butter.
Maybe some cumin.
Offering $200 to whoever could create a cheaper meal.
What are you defining as a meal? Because trail mix is quite cheap as well.
And where's your $200 coming from? You're scant as it is.
The tears of the wealthy.
Yeah.
Tears of the ruling class. Due to an overabundance of submissions, the offer was closed after 7 days and the $200 was just given to some random dude.
Oh.
They were just like, yeah, fuck it.
Here you go, mate. Let me enjoy my toast.
Oh, God. Heston Blumenthal.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Yep. So Heston Blumenthal, for those who don't know, is a very fancy cook in the UK who specializes in making real fucked food.
Real
weird food. Do you know about him, James?
Yeah, he's got the show. He's got a show, doesn't he?
He might have done. I don't know. But he's got the Fat Duck in Bray in England.
Mm.
So like he's which he invented recipes for triple cooked chips and soft scented Scotch eggs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I need examples. I need examples of weird things he done. They parody it in the IT Crowd, and like they're like, everything's edible in here. And she just she bites into a knife, and then Jen's like, is that edible? She's like, no. Anyway, he came up for a Mad Hatter's Tea Party, a main course inspired by Alice in Wonderland. Blumenthal's recipe for the toast involved bone marrow salad, egg yolk, mustard, gastric mayonnaise, and tomato ketchup. Okay, so that's just
that's
just a fucking sandwich with a bit more bread.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, look. US media coverage.
Oh, this made the big time.
Good Lord.
Oh, it's just, slow news day. Anyway, that's toast sandwich.
Toast
Not
sandwich.
A toasted sandwich.
No.
A toast
sandwich.
Sandwich.
I love it.
Yep.
What do you got?
Zane, bring us down.
Well, okay, so.
Depress us, Zane.
Well, if either of you know about this article, I will do another article, which I'm pretty sure you won't know about.
Okay.
Have either of you heard of Karl Tanzler?
No.
Also known as Count Karl von Kossel?
No.
Okay, so he was a German-born radiology technologist at the Marine Hospital Service in Key West, Florida. Now, he's known for developing an obsession for a young Cuban-American tuberculosis patient, Elena Helen Milagro de Hoyes.
Okay.
Now, that in itself isn't terrible and weird. The fact that this obsession and love for her carried on well after tuberculosis killed her.
Yikes.
His claim to fame.
We talking dead people sex?
Sex has never been proven. We'll get back to that.
It's never been proven.
Good.
So basically,
thank God.
Karl Tanzler, educated in Germany, born in Dresden. He was in Australia during the First World War and so was put in a prisoner of war camp because he was German.
Right.
Okay.
And then he escaped, went back to Germany, then went to live with his sister in the US. Now, he did get married to a lovely German woman who also lived in America or the US after that. But they, of course, they had two children. But they divorced.
Sure.
So,
okay.
Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyes, on April 22nd, 1930, while working at the Marine Hospital in Key West, Tanzler met Maria Elena and they fell in love. Now, this wasn't really looked down upon by her family.
Right.
They acknowledged it. They were okay with it, which she died. It was very sad. They built an outdoor mausoleum. He would go visit her every night.
Sure.
The night.
Kind of creepy is her mother gave him a bag of.
Don't say hair.
It's hair.
Oh no!
Collected hair from Maria.
No.
What kind of hair, Zane?
Well, head hair.
Oh, thank God.
Head hair.
the best of hairs in that situation.
To remember her by, I would assume. So 2 years after.
When was this? World War One or World War Two?
This is after World War One.
Okay.
So she died in 1931.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. So 2 years after that.
Yep.
He sneaks into the cemetery.
Sneaks in. The best way to get into a cemetery. Wolf.
Into the mausoleum. Takes her body out of the mausoleum.
Oh, dear.
Puts it in a toy wagon.
Oh.
And walks it back to his house. Sneakily.
Sneakily.
No one saw that. It's fine.
How do they know that it happened?
Well, he lived on after this.
So
and he was put on trial.
Oh,
yeah. So let's get to
that. Okay, all right. I'm getting ahead of myself.
I only ask you. Listen to my tale.
So he removed the body. Now he took it to his home. He reported that Hoyas's spirit would come to him when he would sit by her grave and serenade her corpse with her favorite Spanish song. He also said that she would often tell him to take her from the grave.
Oh.
Yep. So once he got her to his house, he kept her on his bed. He attached her bones together with wire and coat hangers. He fitted the face with glass eyes, and as the skin of the corpse decomposed, he replaced it with silk cloth soaked in wax and plaster of Paris. So as her hair fell out of the decomposing scalp, of course...
He had a bag of hair.
Tansla fashioned a wig from Hoyos' hair that had been collected by her mother and given to Tansla not long after her burial in 1931.
He just had it ready to go.
And what year was this? 1933.
This is 1933. He filled the corpse's abdominal and chest cavity with rags to keep the original form.
Sure.
Dressed Hoyos' remains in stockings, jewelry, and gloves and kept the body in his bed. So he used copious amounts of perfume, disinfectants, and preserving agents to mask the odor and try to stop it from decomposing.
Yeah, no, fair.
Fucking fair hell. Enough.
So, 1933.
Yeah.
In 1940... Hoyos' sister Florinda heard rumors of Tansel sleeping with the disinterred body of her sister. Who is spreading these rumors?
Who is talking about this?
I don't know who's spreading these rumors. And she confronted him at his
home. Just like the goal to be like, hey, look, I don't know if this is like 100% happening, yeah. But
I've been hearing some whispers.
I got a little feeling in my tongue.
Well, I will say. So she confronted him at his home. Nothing really happened there. But when... when Florinda notified the authorities, Tansel was arrested and detained. So basically he was seen in his house in front of an open window dancing with the corpse.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So he was charged, of course, psychiatrically examined and found mentally competent to stand trial with a charge of wantonly and maliciously destroying a grave and removing a body without authorization. So in the preliminary hearing... In Key West, Tansel was held to answer on the charge, but the case was dropped and he was released as the statute of limitations had expired.
No way.
Yeah. So
so he'd just been doing it for too long that...
It's just like...
Far out.
Doesn't really matter anymore, I guess.
Yikes.
I've never understood statute of limitations.
Yeah.
It's like, just like the whole... It's the idea that it's like... Well, it happened so long ago.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
look,
I don't
you burned a village to the ground and hung heads from a wind chime.
It might surprise you. Statute of limitations isn't about justice. It's about conserving costs in the legal industry.
Oh, you don't say. Oh, who'd have thought?
That'd probably make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I just don't want to go through the paperwork.
Okay, so of course the case got a lot of interest from the media.
And
the public, both regionally and nationwide. But the public mood was generally sympathetic to Tansla.
Oh.
And mostly viewed him as an eccentric romantic.
No. That's bad, actually. Oh.
Though not reported contemporaneously at the autopsy and what have you, research, most notably... by authors Harrison and Spice and Swicegood, good names, have revealed evidence of Tansler's necrophilia with Hoyos' corpse. The two physicians, Dr. Depu and Dr. Foraker.
Sorry.
Depu,
yeah. Cool. Right,
I'm surprised that Curtis let that one go.
I had to let it wash over me
for a second.
Who attended the 1940 autopsy of the remains recalled in 1972 that a paper tube had been inserted into the vaginal area of the corpse that allowed for intercourse. Others contend that since no evidence of necrophilia was presented at the 1940 preliminary hearing, and because the physician's proof in inverted commas surfaced in 1972, that the necrophilia allegation is questionable.
Yeah, but like, why the tube? Yeah, but like, why the tube, though?
Look,
you know, you have a tube.
But it's also paper, which would disintegrate if you were using it for those dirty purposes.
True.
Would it?
Sorry, go on.
Would it? Would it disintegrate? Does cum disintegrate paper? Is that a thing?
It's moist.
Any moisture would. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I got some homework to do.
Good.
Oh, fuck. I can't believe I just said that.
In 1944, Tansel moved to Pasco County, Florida. where he, and in his later years, he lived near his wife there, his wife, his ex-wife Doris.
Wonder how she felt about the whole snafu.
Well, I haven't spoken to her. I couldn't possibly say.
Yeah, no, who knows?
But she's here now.
Yeah, we've got her in the room.
He was made a US citizen in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
Now, separated from his obsession, he used a death mask to create a life-sized effigy of Hoyos.
Oh, no. And he lived didn't stop.
And lived with it until his death on July 3rd, 1952.
It's like, dude, you had a chance. You had a chance for a new life. You moved to America and then...
Did you say the term, the phrase, now separated from his obsession?
Well, no, separated from his obsession, yes.
That doesn't sound very separated from your obsession.
Well, no, so he was removed from the corpse.
From the corpse itself. Okay. Yeah. From the physical thing.
So he was discovered dead on the floor of his home 3 weeks later. Some say that he was found underneath the effigy. But no official report says that. The official report says that he was found on the floor behind one of his piano organs.
Oh.
But it did say that on a metal cylinder on a shelf above the table, in it wrapped in silken cloth and a robe, was a waxen image, the effigy.
Yes.
It also has been written by Swicegood that Tanzler had the bodies switched, or that Hoyos' remains were secretly returned to him, and that he died with the real body of Hoyos instead of an effigy.
One final switcheroo.
One final switcheroo. And that is Carl Tanzler.
I'm looking at the image that the article has of this encapsulated corpse, this wax corpse, and it's terrifying.
Yes.
There's a fucking picture.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Carl Tesla, did you say?
Carl Tanzler. Tanzler.
T-A-N-Z-L-E-R.
L-E-R.
Damn.
So he has gone by a number of different names. He was born Georg Carl Tanzler, and then he was listed as Carl Tanzler von Kossel on his citizenship. But he has also signed hospital records as Count Carl Tanzler von Kossel.
Huh. Count of dead something. Bodies.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
so
that's
Carl Tanzler.
Was terrifying.
Fuck me.
Yeah, you're looking at it. You having a good
gander. That's not the effigy, mate. That's the actual fucking corpse.
No, that's what
corpse.
I'm saying. That's the corpse. That's the wax corpse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
messed. You go check that out. You go check all of our articles out. They'll all be in the show notes. But with that said and done, let's go ahead and
Zane wins. Zane wins.
Honestly, yeah. Yikes. A lot of yikes. I said yikes a lot during that.
Yeah,
I don't know
fucking
if you
hell.
Noticed,
and you somehow anticipated the hair.
Yeah, I was just hoping against hope.
Like a bag of her clothes.
Yeah, no, no, I knew. This guy, I looked at his face. Yeah, no, fair. So that's Carl Tanzler goes into our bracket. That'll about do it. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We'll try to be more active on those. We've been dropping the ball. But we'll try to be more active. Maybe we'll show the... We're not going to show the image of the dead corpse. I'm so sorry.
You can...
No,
maybe,
I'm not going to show
we'll
you.
Figure out,
maybe
we'll
the
figure,
image of Tanzler.
Yeah, maybe
we'll
the
figure
Tanzler.
Out a way to tease it because...
Yeah.
The people need to know.
Yeah. But thank you so much.
Thank you to Zane for coming,
yes,
for filling
Zane,
in this week.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I was here anyway.
You were here.
It is your house.
it is your studio.
Purgatory and Friends.
That's our theme song.
That's the theme song. It's the name of the
you
theme song.
Better believe it.
Yes. That's about it. I don't think we've got much more to say.
I don't think so either.
It's a quickie. We did
quickie,
a quickie.
Quickie.
All right.
I've been Curtis Lang, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been Zane C. Weber.
I've been James Keogh. Until next time, browse responsibly.
Hey guys, it's Julie.
And KB.
From Elvis Lives, a conspiracy theory podcast.
What do we talk about, Julie?
Conspiracies.
No way.
What kind do we talk about?
Celebrities.
Government.
Time travel.
Ooh. Tune in every Monday.
What day?
Monday.
What was it?
Monday.
Oh, Monday.
Monday for your fill of conspiracy theories.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.